Critical acclaim greeted writer-director Noah Baumbach when he made his first movie at the age of 24, the post-college malaise comedy Kicking and Screaming. It included a plot line about a 20-something writer.
Okay, now Czechoslovakia is just the worst place to go. And the way I see it, eventually you'll make your life in the States. Why run away now? You're just postponing that get started year.
I'm not postponing anything. I'm postponing months of emotional paralysis.
Exactly. It's a bad idea to go directly. The paralysis is just going to wait for you when you get... What are you writing?
Notes.
Will you stop writing what I'm saying? Can we have one spontaneous conversation where my dialogue doesn't end up in your next story? And what if I want this material?
We'll see who gets it first.
Okay, let me borrow your pen.
Baumbach would earn an Oscar nomination 10 years later with the film The Squid and the Whale, about a New York family going through a divorce. Yes, Baumbach's parents did split. And this year, Margot at the Wedding, about siblings struggling to love each other, one of whom is a writer who draws from her family's life. When Noah Baumbach visited the BPP studios, he addressed the perception that he, like the title character in his latest movie, pulls material directly from his own life.
I do use a lot of stuff from my life, but... A lot of it is very literal. I mean, in The Squid and the Whale, where I got this autobiography thing a lot, I used the location of my childhood. My parents had gotten divorced in real life, and the movie depicted a divorce. And so there were a lot of easy connections people could make, but it really wasn't autobiographical. It was a work of fiction. And this movie has things, too, from my life, from other people, but... I always find that the people who come up to me and say, oh, you took that thing, are always wrong. And the people that I think, oh, no, they're going to see I took that conversation or something, they no idea. So as long as that keeps happening, I can keep doing it.
You worked with Jack Black in this film, and he is so great at, you know, broad physical comedy. So I'm curious... What kind of conversations you had with him about working within a smaller scale, a very language, very conversation-driven film versus sort of the great slapstick that he's known for?
Part of what I really admire about Jack's broader movies, School of Rock or Nacho Libre, are I find he really grounds those characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's played in a broader world, but there's a real sweetness and a real humanity to them. So that's what I connected to, and also in meeting him, I connected to about him personally, that it never felt like a stretch to me to put him into the world of this movie.
Paul apologizes for not coming. She's still getting the house ready.
I'm sorry it was such short notice.
I don't care. Paul's frantic, but I don't give a... If you're wondering about the mustache...
No, I wasn't.
I had a full beard for a while, and then when I shaved it, I left this part for last. You know, to see how it looked. And it's meant to be funny.
He's also so likable. And again, this is a character who might not be particularly likable, but there's something about the way he plays this sort of unmotivated or motivated by some really strange things kind of guy that makes you almost want to root for him to be a better person.
I think so. And I think a lot of that's Jack. I think there's something in Jack that you feel that there's potential there and you want him to be his best self.
My husband and I used to work together. He's an executive producer at the TV station I used to work for, and we had rules that we laid down. Like, he would have to book me to be on a show, but he couldn't just tell me. He had to go through the proper channels. You worked with your wife on this film. Did you guys lay down any sort of ground rules before you went in? Professional rules versus what's going on between Noah and Jennifer at home?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very unlike us to make rules in that way, but I tried to be responsible, and I said, you know, we should just have a moment and right now say, if we fight, say, on the set, we should take it off the set. But we're both very comfortable on movie sets, and she's done this way more times than I have even, so it was only good.
There are these, I'm referring to them as quietly shocking moments in the film, when a character will just say something that just... It's like a blast.
It causes cancer.
Underarm deodorant?
Uh-huh. It's got chemicals and other things which are extremely harmful.
I'm not going to die from underarm cancer.
No, you get it somewhere else, like your stomach or your testicles.
When you're writing these moments, are you writing them to grab the audience, or are they just Was that just part of this woman's personality?
It's really part of this woman's personality. I don't think of those moments as so shocking, really. I guess to me, it's how some people talk.
I must live in a very Gentile world. Well, a very Gentile contained world where nobody says anything.
I don't know. Listen closer.
People are saying things that I don't know. So when you're writing this, you don't realize that that's actually really, some of those things are really difficult.
In my experience, I mean, they might be more shocking compared to what we often see parents and kids talk about in movies. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that different from how parents and kids talk in real life. It's a very specific relationship. I'm not saying all parents and kids talk this way at all. And these are this is a mother and son where the boundaries are fuzzy and their bond is they're very close and they're also at a very specific time. He's about to hit puberty and about to go through changes that are going to in some ways draw him away from his mother and out look you know, mm-hmm. turn him more out into the world in a way and be more interested in people that are not in his family. And she's going through a crisis in this movie where she's looking also away from the family and thinking about abandoning the family potentially. But saying all that, I also think that there's a certain casual frankness and sometimes cruelty but also lovingness that goes on all the time in families, and particularly families in close quarters. I think if we taped a lot of families that claim to be relatively normal, you'd be surprised when you hear some of the things said.
Back when you made Kicking and Screaming, I looked it up, and you were named one of Newsweek's 10 new faces to watch. That was 11 years ago.
Yeah, they were 10 years off.
did that accolade help you move things along in your career, or did it create some sort of weird expectation about you?
I don't know. I made two movies very young, and then I had trouble getting a movie made, and so which was both, I think, a plus and a minus. It was a minus because it made me unhappy. It was a plus in that I think I developed as a filmmaker. So by the time I made my third film, I was in a stronger place. I really like my first movie a lot, Kicking and Screaming. I think I'm very pleased and proud of that movie. But it wasn't Citizen Kane right out of the box. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. Sex, Lies, and Videotape. And so I made a good movie. I didn't make a masterpiece. And I would have had a different pressure, I guess, if I had made the best movie of my life then. Not that those filmmakers necessarily made the best. I think Soderbergh's made mm-hmm. a lot of great movies. So did Orson Welles, by the way. I imagine there's a pressure in some ways coming out so young and making a movie that's beyond your years. I think I made a movie probably right around my years.
You're right in the pocket then. Thanks for coming in, Noah.
Thanks for having me.
Noah Baumbach's new movie stars Nicole Kidman, Jack Black, and his wife, Jennifer Jason Leigh. No rules there. They get along just fine.
Coming up on The Beep, producer Mark Ronson. This guy can turn a Britney Spears song into a funk masterpiece. Stick around to hear how that
happens.
How that kind of alchemy happens.